Well, all of us have feelings. And we have different feelings at different times about different things. And I want to preach maybe for the next few Sunday nights on dealing with your feelings. Dealing with the different feelings that we experience. Tonight I want to talk about when you feel like God is just not interested in what's happening to you. All of us have been there. And some may be there tonight. We just sort of wonder, where is God? And why aren't my prayers being answered? Why is this happening to me? What do I do in these circumstances? So turn to Mark chapter 4, if you will. And we'll find someone that is in a situation or some people that are in a situation very similar to what I was talking about. And it would seem like that Jesus is not interested in what's happening to them, but he is very interested in it. When we get to the place where we're saying, why me? And Lord, I'm good, and you just don't seem to be interested, and I'm trying to do the right thing. I just wonder where you are. God is always there. He's there. And I hope to be able to back that up through the Word of God tonight. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, a lot of things had been taking place, and Christ had been teaching and preaching. They'd been healing a number of things, and they were very tired. But in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side, his disciples. And when they had sent away the multitude, the big numbers of people, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full of water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, look at their question. Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Don't feel too strange if you run into some of those days, maybe over periods of times where your heart is broken and you don't quite understand what God is up to in your life. And there are some disappointments that come. But you're in good company. Listen to Jeremiah. In Lamentations 3:18, Jeremiah, we know him as the great prophet, and he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. What he was saying is, I've had about all I can take. My strength is gone. My hope for a positive outlook on the future and future things, it's just gone. That was Jeremiah, the great prophet of God. So let's take a little glimpse or two now in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and see what's going on. As I said, they were very tired. Jesus had been teaching. Verse 35 says, the same day when it was evening, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. He was telling them what to do. He was giving them his will for their life right at that time. And that was for them to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to make their way across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But there was an interruption. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind. Those of you who have been to Israel know the way that is there, that it's just naturally a funnel and a channel for the wind to blow down through that area off of those mountains in the Sea of Galilee. And though the Sea of Galilee, we'd call it a big lake in Texas, there, the Sea of Galilee, the waves come up high, and a storm can hit it just like that. And that's where they were. They had gone, they were in the ship, they had done what Christ had told them to do, and they were right in the middle of this storm. I wonder what they were thinking about this time. What if you had been in that boat? What would you be thinking? The waters get on the boat, and maybe some of those guys are thinking, I'll never see my grandchildren. I don't know if I'll ever see my wife again. I don't know if I'll ever get back home again. You know, when you're in a situation like that, a lot of things run through your mind very quickly, don't they? And I can imagine some of their thoughts. Man, why, I don't understand this. We did what Jesus told us to do, and now I'm not even going to get back home. Now I won't ever have the privilege of sleeping in my own bed again. And I'm probably going to die. My wife, what is she going to do? A lot of things were going through their mind as they were thinking about it. One thing was they were wondering, where's Jesus? Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And I would imagine most of us would probably be about of the same persuasion. We'd be wondering, well, where did Jesus go? And they were saying to him, Jesus, I need help. And I need help now. Have you ever been there? I need help. And I need it right now. And so that's part of what they were going through. By the way, the Sea of Galilee out there where they were in about the middle of it is hundreds of feet deep. And you'd have to swim real hard and a long ways. You'd never make it out of a storm there like they were talking about. But I'm sure one of the things they were wondering about was, we followed Jesus and look what's happening to us. We did what he told us to do and look what has happened to us. And I know that there are some Christians that when they go through some of the trials of life, that's what they think. And I've been asked that question numerous times by people. Maybe somebody that's dying with cancer or somebody that has had some very serious problems, and they'll say something like this, Pastor, I don't understand. I've tried to live right. I've never smoked. I've never drank. Never put liquor to my lips. Not one time. I've always been in church. I got saved at an early age. And I don't understand why this is happening to me. And could you tell me why? And I'll be quite frank with you. A lot of times there is no human answer to it. You just have to say you have to trust God. And God is sovereign in his dealings with us. We do not understand it. But Jesus responded to them by calming the storms of their life, or the storm of their life right then. Look at his response, verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, just as calm and pristine as could be, like Lake Placid. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He responded to them by taking care of the problem and then speaking to them a little bit about a need that they have in their life. And they were just asking him about it. Lord, we're going over to the other side. You told us what to do. We're trying to do exactly what you told us to do. We didn't question your will for us, and we were just going to do that. And Jesus is saying to them, but remember, I told you back here, get in the boat, and we would wind up on the other side. He didn't say, get in the boat, and we might have a storm, might not make it. He told them that we're going to go to the other side. Now, can we take God at his word or not? We should take God at his word. Whatever his word says, that's what we must believe. But Jesus says there are a lot of things that you can learn in the storms of life. And there are many things that you and I can learn in the storms of life. So why a storm? Why a storm, God? It's not always because of disobedience. Please understand that. If you don't, you'll be real confused maybe at times. It's not always that you go through the storms because you have been disobedient. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes that's the problem. You're being disobedient and you are going to go through the storms. And if you don't believe that, ask Jonah. The reason he was in a storm and got thrown out of the boat and into the belly of the whale or the big fish was because he was out of God's will. And sometimes that's the reason, but sometimes that isn't the reason. And you look here and you see these men, they were just doing what Jesus told them to do. They were preaching, they were ministering, they were serving, and they were just doing what Jesus told them to do. And they were in the same boat that Jesus was in, the very same boat. But that doesn't matter. You can be saved and be right with God, but the storms can still come. You can be in the same boat with Jesus, but the storms can still come, and it can come to us. Now, dealing with the storms. How do we deal with the storms? Let me give you sort of a little acronym that I ran across, and I thought it was pretty good. And we'll use the letters of the word storms and think about some of the things that cause us to have to deal with storms and some of the storms we face. So we take the first letter, S, and there's a word that comes to my mind, and that is the word stress. Now, having looked this crowd over tonight, I think I'm in good territory right here. Stress. There's a lot of stress. You know, a lot of the stress we put on ourselves is self-imposed. We set goals that God never intended for us to set in our lives, financially and otherwise. And we sometimes have job-related problems. We push. We're trying to make more money, and materialism is our goal, and having things. God didn't intend for us to get under that kind of self-imposed stress. And a lot of people are doing that to themselves. Then we have our environment. Not necessarily the pollution that I'm talking about, but we live in an environment today, and in the Metroplex, how many people do you know that moved here and said, I want to come to a nice, relaxing, rural city and lay back and just enjoy the traffic? I don't know of many people that in their right mind would say anything like that. I find the Metroplex being very stressful sometimes. But we live a very fast-paced life, always on the go, always trying to do things. And stress can be a real problem that can cause us to really go through some of the trials that we go through. The next letter is T, and that's just the word trials. We'll think about the word trials. What are trials? Well, they are things that happen that are beyond our control. Did you ever have anything happen to you that was beyond your control? That's it. What can I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. There's nothing I can do. And so we have some of these things that happen, these trials that come to us, and naturally in some of those times we ask why. I'm in your will, God, and I look around and I see wicked people, and God says, fret not yourself at the prosperity of the wicked. Do you ever look around and say, I'm driving an old rattle trap and I don't have what I need, and yet I see this guy, he's living like the devil, and we know that they are socialites that don't honor God in any way, and they're driving the Lexus and Cadillacs and the Hyundais. They're driving, I couldn't think of what it was, but they're driving all these big fancy cars and all of that. And here we are, and what's going on here? What's wrong with this picture? And we look at that, and we have these trials. And we look at the wicked. But you remember what God said, fret not yourself at the prosperity of the wicked. Why? Why, God? Why? Why did you say that to us? For they have their reward. That's it. We go on to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They're through. They die if they're not saved without God. They may have all these things in this little brief life. And you don't think it's brief. You just wait till you get a little older. I used to say age is sneaking up on me. Now I say it's running full blast, trying to knock me over. And some of you can relate to that. But I can just say, you know, sometimes we wonder about that. So, well, you know, I can remember a time when I first got in the ministry and I had relatives. Man, they had all of it. The boats, the motorcycles, a nice home. And they were going on vacation and everything. And we were like, how are we going to make ends meet? the initiation into the ministry. And that's why we don't pay our workers very much around here, because they need that initiation. Don't get on my case. I'm just kidding. I think we pay them decently anyway. At least let's say they've hung around. But at any rate, and we're glad. Amen? Amen. You better say amen. So you've got the T. And then the O. Some things that can cause us to have trials would be others. Think about that one a little bit. Others. S, stress. T, trials. O. And what happens to some people sometimes is they say, well, I'm just going to isolate myself and live in self-pity. Nobody likes me anyway. They said something I didn't like. So I'm just going to live in self-pity. I don't want to be around them. Some people say that I just don't need that church. And I don't even need to go there. I don't want to sit by them. I just don't even want to. I'll sit over here and they can sit over there. But I'm not going to sit in the middle with them. I'm not going to do it. And by the way, you sit about the same. I just checked the roll over here. I said, they're there. Yeah, they're missing. Yep, they're there. They're missing. They're there. I don't have to count. I just ought to check the roll by who's missing in their places, you know. But we have all of that. Then we have people that go to work. And they have a rough time at work. They wonder, why do I have such a hard time at work? And they want to avoid people there. And, you know, the best thing to do is not avoid the situation. Is hit it head on. Maybe a little blood when you get through, but hit it head on. And the Bible says if you got something against somebody, go to them, talk to them. And there's some things involved in that. Sometimes the hurt is there. And God allows it. And why does He do that? To help us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. And so God does that. And then the R, reason. I use that word, reason. Thinking about the reason. Thinking it too much, too long. Overthinking it. Melancholy perfectionists especially have problems with this. We've got to figure it all out. Why is this happening? Why is that? How long? What's going on? How can I change? What's what? All of this. And the next thing you know, we're questioning God. Somebody got a promotion and I didn't. Why not? She got married and I'm still not married. Why not? Because you're a lucky duck. No, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. Sometimes the devil gets in me, you know. Don't say amen. But the problem many times is we're thinking of ourselves too much. Me, thinking about myself. You know what we should do is think about others. If we'll quit thinking so much about ourselves and start thinking about others, that'll help us in this situation and we won't be so stressed out. And we need to do that. Think of others. Satan uses it, and he's always good at doing that whenever we demand a reason. If we demand a reason, if we try to be logical about everything that comes in our life that God lets come down the road toward us, we will not figure it out and we will be miserable. And we'll live our whole Christian life like that. Can't figure it out. So I'm just going to be miserable until I figure it out. And you won't figure it out, friends. None of us will figure it out until we're in heaven and we have perfect knowledge and God will tell us then, and probably we'll know so much about it won't even matter. We'll just be glad and thank God that we're in heaven. By the way, I think that's one reason, this is sort of parenthetical, but I think that's one reason some people don't get saved. They try to rationalize it too much. And they say, you know, I've just got to do something myself. I just have some works that I've got to bring into the picture. And there's something, it can't be that easy that I just ask God and believe that Jesus died for me and ask Him to save my soul. It just can't be that easy. I've got to go a little further. I don't earn it. I've got to earn it, rather. I've got to deserve it. I've got to do something to convince God that I'm worthy for God to save me. I've done thus and I've done that and I've given to the poor and I've given all. Listen, a person can give. Somebody was telling me the other day, a family in this city that gave, I think it was somewhere around $700 million to an organization. Well, let me tell you, that's good. The only thing I wish is there'd been members here. But at any rate, they did that. But I'll tell you something. Listen to me now. If they don't get saved, they'll die and go to hell. I don't care if they've given billions to people. You can give all your money to help people, but if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. Because that's not what does it. And we don't have to earn it. And just be convinced, Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. We don't get to heaven by earning it or keep on earning it. And if you get to thinking that way and thinking that way, you'll never get saved. You've got to just admit, hey, I'm bankrupt, I'm broke, I have no hope but Jesus Christ. I come to God and I cast myself at the feet of Jesus and say, oh God, for Christ's sake, save my soul so I can go to heaven. Then you got it and you're ready. Don't try to reason it out. You'll die without Christ. Whenever we have our storms, we ought to focus on others and we ought to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what happened to Peter? You know, we all know that story about Peter. And Christ came and they thought it was a spirit. And then he said, Lord, is that you? And he said, he beckoned him to come on to me. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Boy, what an experience. Can you imagine that? He walked on the water. And so about that time, he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the storms. And what happened to him? He went down. Now, God is merciful, isn't he? And Jesus lifted him up. He didn't let him drown. But what happened to Peter was his thoughts and his eyes turned away from Jesus onto his circumstances. Listen to me, folks. When you do that, you're in trouble. You're going to quit growing in the Lord. You're not going to be happy. When you take your eyes and your thoughts off of Jesus, you must focus on the Lord. But Peter cried out, save me. And he did it. So there are reasons for the storm. And God wants us to learn to focus on Him. So you have the S, the stress, the T, the trials, the O, the others, the R. You have the reason, and then you have money. Money. Hey, a lot of people can relate to that. So I just don't have enough. Well, maybe you do and maybe you don't, but either way, that can be a difficulty, can't it? Either way. We go through some trials financially. Sometimes people get to have a complete financial reversal. Let me tell you, would you still be happy in Jesus if you lost everything tonight? Would you still be happy in Jesus if you lost all of your belongings, your house burned down, your car and all of those things? Would you still say, hey, I've got Jesus, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to keep on going and living for the Lord? And that's something that should be an attitude of our heart. But money can be a problem. I can tell you this. So the first thing I would ask is, do you put God first in your finances? And if you don't, quit blaming God. And quit griping about your situation. And it may just be a widow's mite. That's okay. To God, the widow's mite is just as important as someone who makes $500,000 a year and tithes on that, and she gives on her little widow's mite. God doesn't make any difference in that. I'm going to say, oh, I'm impressed. They gave $500,000. You, little lady, you didn't give much. You gave a buck or two. No, God doesn't look at it that way. He says, you're great and you're wonderful, and I recognize you, and they're doing the right thing too. But if you don't tithe and you don't give, then you can expect some financial reversals and problems. But let me tell you this. Wealth can be a curse. All of you Baptist gamblers out there, surely none of you are. Surely none of you are. But over and over and over and over again, they're proving that those who win the lottery, millions of dollars, are winding up with broken homes, miserable. I saw a picture in a magazine of a guy who won, I don't know, $8 million in the lottery or something. He's sitting in his rocking chair on the front porch of a beautiful home that he bought, and he is looking miserable, and the article was saying something like this. Of course, it's not verbatim, but it was saying, he said, I'd give it all back if I could get my family back, my friends back, and all of that. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I can tell you that money can be a curse. Not having enough can be pretty bad too, but it can be a curse. And a lot of people, that can happen to them. So either way, you have to look at it. But that can put stress in our lives, and that can make us have the wrong kind of feelings. And then there's service. Service. We should be busy serving the Lord, doing what God wants us to do, and doing what His will is. We've got to find out what His will is. We find that out through the Word of God, and God wants to show us the answers. But sometimes He doesn't tell us everything at one time. And we begin to think, why? Why doesn't God care? That was a problem they were having. Where's God? Where's Jesus? Doesn't He care? Master, don't you care that we perish? Don't you understand we're in a storm? Where are you, Lord Jesus Christ? But what we have to do, no matter who we are, what we're doing, is focus on the Lord. And sometimes I believe God calls people into full-time service. They ought to go. They don't go sometimes. But listen, if God has called you and you don't follow the calling of God, you're not going to be happy, and you're going to be a stressed out person until you make that right and get right with God. Now let me give you something very quick. We don't have much time left. Just a few reasons not to fear. One of the reasons they shouldn't have feared is because Jesus promised them they were going to the other side. Verse 35, I've already mentioned that. That was His idea for them to get in the boat. He had been teaching from a boat, but He said, now let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Was Jesus not omniscient? Did He not know what was going to happen? Surely He knew exactly what was going to happen. And He was saying, you need to go and obey Me and not be afraid. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, or so be it, unto the glory of God by us. There are thousands of promises in this book. Claim the one you need every time, whatever you're going through. Claim the promises of God. God promised they were going to go over. Jesus said, we're going to the other side, guys. Get in the boat. And they should have believed and understood it. And then another reason not to fear is He's with us just like He was with the disciples. He's always with you, folks. Hebrews 13:5, He said to be content, so on and so forth. Why? Because I will never leave you nor forsake you. You believe that tonight? Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. That's why if we lose everything, we still have Him. And we can say, I know that He will never leave me or forsake me. And then remember the third thing, that nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing. Can you imagine? Here are these huge waves, very much like you'd see some wakes on the ocean, some of those breaks that are coming in, and you see the height of them. And He just said to them, like you would speak to a dog that is well trained, lie down and stay there. Just do that. And He had the authority to do it. And any time He gets ready to stop your problems and all of that, or change the course, change whatever's happening to you, He can say, peace, be still. Amen? He can do that. Do you believe God can really do that? He can do that, and He will do that. And then read the instructions in the book. He tells them in verse 40, you should have had faith. You should have had faith. Guys, you should have had... Jesus, where are you? Guys, you should have had faith. I told you we were going to make it across. And then never lose interest in God. Don't ever lose interest in God, in the things of God. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. Thank God for He careth for you. He cares for you tonight. And that's what we're supposed to do. And know and believe that Jesus is in the boat with you. God is there. God will help you whatever you go through. To the unsaved, I can tell you tonight, He's interested in you. He wants to save you. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. If you'll come to Him tonight, He'll save your soul. And to the saved, I can tell you that He's interested in you. And if we'll just trust Him, He may not stop the storm like He did here. He may not do that. Sometimes He doesn't do that. Sometimes He gives the grace to go through the storm. Just keep on going through the storm and let Him pour the grace on you. What's He doing? He knows what He's doing. I may not know what He's doing. And you and I don't know all the things that enter into those things. We don't know a lot of things about generational things and all of that. We don't understand all of that. But God's up here looking down on the pattern. We're looking on the underside of the knitting or the crocheting or whatever it is that the women do, and all those threads are hanging down. And we're looking up and saying, man, isn't that a mess? And God's looking down and saying, what a beautiful pattern. I'm glad when they get that finished. I hope they give it to me. Amen? And that's the way God looks at it. And He can calm the storms and do what He wants to, casting all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's stand, please. We'll have our invitation before we have the Lord's Supper. And if there's anything you need to talk to the Lord about before that, we don't want to partake of it unworthily. And we need to search our hearts. And may God help us to do what is right. And our Father, we thank You for the trials of life. If we never had any problems, we would not know for sure that You could solve those problems. And Lord, give us grace and strength and mercy like You did these disciples in the boat. When our faith gets a little weak, may You help us. May You remind us of who You are, that You're in charge, that You're in the boat with us. I know there's some discouraged people in this building tonight, God. May You encourage their hearts and help them to trust You, to cast all of their cares upon You because You care for them. Help those that might be here, maybe just one little person here, a little boy or girl, they have an eternal soul. They might come to Christ and trust Him as Savior tonight. In His name we pray. Amen.